through Advent, you will remember that you looked together at some of the names given to Jesus, and we've sort of recapped that a little bit together this morning. And you no doubt will have seen how his names are not just labels by which you call him. His names are profound descriptions of him as a person, his status, his personality, and the role he came to fill during his time here on earth. The fact is that all of his names, all of the names given to him, can be gathered together to make his name. You gather all those names together, and that's his name. It's the name that is above every other name. And today we're just looking at one of those names. We're going to focus on John chapter 10, down to verse 15 eventually. And the ways that Jesus describes himself there in that chapter. Up to this point in John's gospel, Jesus has been called the Word of God, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one and only, the prophet, the bread of life, the bread of God, the Holy One of God, the light of the world. And these are all sort of global descriptions of Jesus, big descriptions of him and his power and his place within creation. And what he has come to do for the world that he so loved. But here in chapter 10, he describes himself in a way that focuses on a more personal and intimate way in which he relates to those who follow him. He describes himself as a shepherd. In fact, he calls himself the Good Shepherd. Julie and I, as we were driving up this morning, were listening to the worship, Sunday worship on Radio 4. I don't know if any of you listened to that this morning, but it was from Ukraine. And it was, if you get to listen to a recording of it on BBC Sounds later on, it's worth listening to. It was from Kiev, and a lot of it was in Ukrainian, but there were a number of people testifying to the presence of God with them during these awful years that they've been going through. Very, very moving. And one of them was one man saying, how often the question had come up, where is God? Where is God in this? And he said his testimony was, he was with me. He was with me. He is Emmanuel, is God with me. Very personal testimonies to the presence of God in these people's lives. So we're going to look now at the very personal way in which Jesus comes into our lives. And my prayer has been and is that you will sense something of that for you as we look at these verses together. One of the great things that when we meet together to worship God together is for us to be built up ourselves. We've a task to do, going out there into the world and being a witness to him. But when we meet together like this, These are great opportunities for us to be strengthened in our own personal relationship with God. I pray that for each one of us this morning, a reassurance of his closeness and his love for you in your life and in your circumstances. So I would just encourage you to open your heart as we look at these verses together. At the beginning of this new year, let's ask him to make this a new season in our relationship with him, a fresh realization of the intimacy that he wants with us through life. I'd like to pray for us again. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that you came into the world because you loved the world so much. Lord, we've celebrated that over these past weeks, your coming into the world, being incarnated. We want to say thank you that you came in a way that we could understand, that we could embrace somehow ourselves. We think of our brothers and sisters, Lord, like those folks, Lord, in Kyiv today as they celebrate. This is their Christmas day, that they celebrate your coming. And we pray for them, Lord, that they also might know something of your closeness in their own hearts and lives, Lord. Deliver them from evil, we pray, Lord. And for ourselves, Lord, we ask you now that by your Spirit, you touch our hearts in a fresh way. Lord, renew our hearts before you to know your blessing on us and take us forward into these coming days, Lord, with a renewed sense of your love for us, your presence with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we look at the passage in detail, let's simply put it into context. As often is the case, Jesus is talking to a mixed group of people. Some who are totally convinced about who he is. Then there are others who are on the edge of things, if you like. They're curious, but not fully committed. And then there were others in that same crowd of people who were definitely opposed to Jesus. So he's talking to a mixed group of people. And so dealing, first of all, with the whole crowd, if you like, he uses what would have been a familiar picture to them all, sheep and shepherds. If you've read your Bible, you'll find sheep and shepherds all over the place. It was one of the most common activities, or if you like, amongst the Jewish people. The Bible's full of this picture. Characters like Moses, David, the prophet Amos, they were all shepherds at some point or other. And of course, we've heard quite a lot about shepherds over the Christmas period. The picture was everywhere. And so this picture was much more common to the crowd that Jesus was talking to than it is for us today. Let me just read to you the first five verses of this chapter again. This isn't because I didn't think Sean did a good job. Just want to repeat it to you. So the first five verses of chapter 10, where Jesus says, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So Jesus starts with this familiar picture, the sheepfold. This was a walled or fenced enclosure where all the shepherds in the area, in the community, would bring their flocks for the night. And a watchman would be employed to spend the night protecting the sheep from rustlers and wolves. In the morning, the shepherds would come to the sheepfold, be allowed in by the watchman, and then they would each call their sheep. As Jesus says here, the sheep would know their owner's voice. So when he called them, they would follow him out of the enclosure, but only his sheep. So you can imagine this, well, I don't know, like a queue of shepherds coming and standing by the sheepfold and calling out, Curly and Floppy and Stupid or whatever, but calling them by name, and they would recognize his voice and they would recognize his name. Like some of you perhaps have got pets and you call their name and immediately they know you're talking to them. That's how it was for these sheep. So the sheep would come. They wouldn't be bothered about the other sheep. They would only be bothered about the voice of their shepherd, and they would follow him out, and then he would take them on to find pasture for them, find their breakfast, if you like. And this is where we see the intimacy and personal nature of Jesus' relationship with his followers. First, he knows them by name. Have you ever given some serious thought to the fact that God thoroughly knows you? He knows you, knows everything about you. He knows your name. He knows your circumstances. He knows where you live, what's going on in your life. Yes, God loves the world, the whole of mankind. But he also knows you, and he loves you. Although he encourages us to talk to him and tell him everything, the fact is, he already knows it all. So I find myself, when I'm talking to him and praying to him, I'm saying, Lord, I just need to tell you about this. I know you know it already, but I need to say it to you. I need to talk it through with you. And I guess somewhere at the back of my head, I hear him saying, I know. I know. I know what it feels like. I know what you're going through. I know your circumstances. I know you by name. I know where you live. I know the people you live with, the people you work with. I know. It's a remarkable, wonderful thing to know that the God who created the universe knows my name, knows your name. And knowing you, he has called you. Can you remember the time when you first sensed that God was drawing you to himself? And I can remember for myself, it was during my teens, and I wouldn't have identified it as such at the time, but when I look back, I know that God was drawing me through circumstances, through what I was feeling in my heart, the things I was thinking about. I know that God was calling me. He was drawing me, and for me, at the age of 17, it was the most wonderful realization that God knew me and was calling me to know him and to follow him. There was almost an irresistible pull towards him, his call on my life. I wonder if you think about that sometimes. The point that you got to when you willingly surrendered yourself to him. Knowing you, he called you, just as the shepherd calls his sheep by name. Today would be a good day to remember when that happened and how life-transforming it was. There will be, and there have been, other voices in your life pulling you in a different direction. But once you've encountered the grace and mercy of God in your life, once you've come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that call is the strongest and deepest, and it will draw you right into eternity. It's a wonderful thing to know his call. Let's move on in chapter 10 to verses 6 down to 11. Jesus used this figure of speech, it says, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. And therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it in the full. I'm the good shepherd. So here, Jesus changes the focus in the picture, if you like, and announces that he's the gate. So he was talking about being the shepherd. Now he's talking about, I'm the gate. Because, as we just read there in verse 6, his audience are not completely understanding what he's getting at. Isn't it wonderful? Aren't you glad that there are loads of thick people in the Gospels? You know, don't you sometimes think, do you know, I don't understand that either, you know? So that's good. So we find that encouragement there. So thinking about the sheepfold again, this time Jesus focuses on the watchman. Now, in order to protect the sheep from rustlers and wolves, what the watchman would do, he would lay across the gateway into the fold. That's where he would, if he nodded off, he would sleep there, or he would sit there. But that's his position, was by the gate. So in effect, he was the gate. And so the sheep couldn't get out because he was the gate. And the strangers or robbers or rustlers or whatever couldn't get in through the gate. Now, I guess they could have climbed over the wall, but they'd still have to get the sheep out through the gate they were going to. So that was an important role. So in doing so, the sheep can't get past him, nor can any thieves or predators get in. The gateway is the only way in or out, and he is effectively the gate. So remember the mixed nature of this group of people that he's talking to? Some are in already. Others are considering whether to come in, and perhaps beginning to feel that pull of God on their lives. And others are rejecting Jesus and even insisting that there are other ways into the sheepfold, into the family and kingdom and flock of God. And Jesus wants to make it clear here that there is no other way. I'm the gate. There's no other gate. I'm the way in. There is no other way in. Jesus wants to make it clear that there's no other way into God's flock, into God's family, into his kingdom, and into eternal life, other than through accepting him as who he claims to be. And of course, just a few chapters later in John's Gospel, in chapter 14 and verse 6, he says those words that we know so well. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way. He is the gate. There's no other way in. I've just been working my way through John's Gospel in my own sort of private devotions over the past weeks. And I just the other day, I was saying to the Lord, you know, I recognize that phrase that you said at the beginning of a lot of your teaching. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. And I just was saying to God, just need to hear that. I need to hear you saying that, because everything so much around us says something different. You know, what I see on television, what I listen to on the radio, what I, even in conversations with people, even people within my own family, I listen to what they're saying. And the implication is it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. You know, you just find your own way. You listen to what other people say. And I just felt I wanted to say to the Lord, Lord, I need to hear you saying almost every day, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. And one of those truths is that there's no other way into the kingdom of God than through faith in Jesus. Back in verse 29 of chapter 6, Jesus was dealing with the same sort of mix of people who were asking him questions about how to be right with God. And they were saying, what must we do to have eternal life, to know God, to enter the kingdom of God? And in reply, Jesus said, the work of God, what he wants you to do is this, to believe in the one he has sent. That's the way in. This is what you have to do, is believe in him. Put your trust in him. Accept him for who he is. So often he began with that phrase, I tell you the truth. So look no further. Jesus and trust in him and belief in him, faith in him, will bring you into the kingdom and family of God and give you eternal life. There's no alternative. There's no other way. Whatever anybody else tells you, there's no other way. He is the gate. And now just the last little bit of the passage from verses 11 down to 15. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. There are two agents of danger and harm for the sheep. Thieves and wolves. And Jesus carries on to tell us that there are similar dangers that threaten those who he has called or is calling. The stranger or thief and the wolf. Like it or not, believe it or not, there is a life and death battle going on for you and me that will determine where we spend eternity. Jesus is making it clear here that we have an enemy who is determined to rob us of all that God wants to give us and to enjoy. This enemy intends to draw us away from God. to steal, kill, and destroy. Which is a grim picture, I know. But God is just as determined and more to draw us to himself. He is the Savior. He is the rescuer, the good shepherd. He's come to save us from all that and to give us the certainty and assurance of eternal life with God. So look what we learn about him here, that he owns his sheep, his people. He says, "You're mine." Just hear that over you this morning, that he says, "You're mine. You're mine. I own you. You're mine. You've been bought with a price." Remember, it says that. You're mine. He cares for his sheep. He cares about you. He cares about your circumstances. He cares about your life. He cares about your eternal welfare. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. "Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." You know, sometimes you hear about people like parents or teachers or people that have got children in their care. It talks about them having a duty of care. Jesus is saying here in his word, "I have the duty of care for you. I care for you." It's not just like, you know, I feel, you know, I like you a lot or something like that. It's, no, I have a responsibility to care for you. So you can cast everything on him because that's what he does. He cares about you. He knows his sheep by name. I've said this enough times, but want to say it again. He knows your name. He knows your circumstances. He knows where you live. And he shields his sheep and would even lay down his life to protect them. This is you. He says, "I love you. I own you. I care for you." And to make it clear just how much I love you, I would even lay down my life for you, which of course we know he did. So let's just wind this up with a reference to King David, the shepherd that we read about in the Old Testament. He knew something about sheep and shepherds. He had first-hand knowledge of shepherding. He had been a shepherd. He knew something of the personal relationship that he had for the sheep in his care. So when he wrote Psalm 23 about his relationship with God, he began by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." And through the collection of songs we have that were written by David, he gives God many names: Rock, Fortress, Holy One, Creator, some of the ones that you called out earlier on. But when it comes down to describing the personal nature of his relationship with God, he chooses this name: "He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to be involved personally, intimately in your life, in my life." I'd like to pray for us, and then I'd like us to read that psalm out together. It's familiar to us. I'm going to put the words are going to come up in a moment. But first of all, let me just pray. Let's bring this together to God. Anything that perhaps he's put his finger on for you this morning, let's just take a moment to respond to that. Oh Lord, we're so grateful to you for the way that you describe yourself in so many different ways in your word. And we love this picture of the shepherd and his sheep. And we want to say You are a good shepherd. You are. We thank you that you have called us by name. We thank you that you know us, Lord. You know our lives. You know our circumstances. You know our situation. You know the things, Lord, that are right at the front of our thinking and our minds today. You know. There's nothing we can tell you that you didn't know already. And we love the fact, Lord, that you know our name. Lord, I think it's a wonderful thought that one day your word says that we will see you face to face, Lord Jesus. And I thank you that on that day we won't have to introduce ourselves to you, that you will look us in the face and say, I know you. I know you. It's a wonderful thing, Father. And we just want to say thank you for that. And pray now, Lord, that where this fact that you know us by name, you know our circumstances, Lord, the places where that touches us personally and intimately, we ask you now, by your Holy Spirit, bring to us again that fresh assurance that you're with us, that you know us, that you love us, that you care for us. And we ask it, Lord, because this ultimately will bring glory to you as we see you at work in our lives. And we pray it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So shall we just say these words together? There's like a gap between each phrase. Let's gabble it through. Is that a word? Gabble? I think it is. Just say it, and just give a second between each phrase just to let it sink in. Together, let's see it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.